Jesus has given unto us. We noticed that fruit of the Spirit, love, last week. And now this week we're going to look at joy. There's that divine love. There's that dedicated love. All those things that we looked at last week, I hope that they're still in your minds, and how that we are to follow the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this afternoon, tonight, we're going to look at the second part here, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we notice that the word fruit there is not a plural word. It's a singular word. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the nine fruits of the Spirit. I've heard a lot of people say that. It's not the nine fruits of the Spirit, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. And has many different aspects, has these nine different categories or nine different ways of looking into that work of the Spirit of God in our life as a believer. Now, these things are for believers. They're for Christians. They're for the people of God. And so, therefore, we are to have these active and working in our life because we are saved, because we are born again by the Holy Spirit, by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice we find here the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then it says joy. Joy is something that only is known by the children of God. This world really does not know what joy is all about. Now, they may have a lot of fleshly fun and a lot of things that the flesh is appetite and is there, but the joy that we have as a child of God can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world does not have, nor will it ever have, what is real joy. They'll never obtain that unless they come to know the real meaning of joy, and that's through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word joy is found in over 150 verses in the Scripture. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this thing of joy. The Scripture has much to say about our life as a believer, how that we are to have joy overflowing in our souls. Someone has explained joy like this, just taking the letters. I'm sure you've heard that. They take the letter J and say that stands for Jesus. If you want to have joy, then you got to put Jesus first. Then if you want to have joy, you take the O, and that's others, and then yourself is last. And really, that's what it all boils down to. Jesus first, others second, and then we ourselves. We find ourselves many times being selfish and self-centered, and we find ourselves wanting just what we want, but that doesn't bring joy. That doesn't bring the real satisfaction as putting the Lord first and putting others there and serving Him in that way. And so tonight, I want us to look at the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, there's a plan of joy that's given in the Scriptures in the Word of God. We'll be reading and noticing a number of verses tonight. But I want us to look at this plan. You know, when Jesus was born, that birth brought joy. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Scripture says, "And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy." There's that great joy that came when Jesus was born. The virgin there in Bethlehem, and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then it tells us who it's to, which shall be to all people. I'm glad tonight that the salvation that God has to offer is to all people. It's not just a select group. It's not just American people. It's not just people that live in a certain area or live a certain way. But the joy that comes through Jesus Christ is a joy that is given to all people, that if they will believe and if they'll trust in Him, they have that joy flooding their souls and in their life. But that joy could not be until Jesus was born, until the Son of God came in the flesh, as the Bible says in John chapter 1. And the Bible says, "We beheld His glory, that glory of the Father, of the only begotten." And so we find that when Jesus was born, it brought great joy. I believe it brought joy to the Father. I believe it brought joy to the angels. I know it brought joy to Mary and to that family, that birth of a child that would be, as Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said, He's a wonderful counselor. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And thank God tonight, He is that one that gives the joy that only the child of God can know and can have. Isaiah said, "A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." And in the New Testament, said his name would be called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And so when God is with us, there is great joy. When God came and tabernacled among men, and the Bible tells us there in the book of John chapter 1, let's just go back and rehearse those words again. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2 of John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the same was in the beginning with God." Verse 3 says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not." And then the Bible says in verse number 11, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now there is where the joy floods our soul, when we believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but as many as receive, it doesn't matter who they were, doesn't matter, they didn't have to be Jew, they could be anybody, it could be Gentile. The Jew didn't understand that, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And it says they were born not of they're born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, or the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. There is that that incarnation of the Son of God. There Jesus taking upon himself the form of a man and put upon himself a body. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then it says he's full of grace and full of truth. And that full of grace and truth will bring joy to your life and will bring joy to a person when they'll come to know him. So when Jesus was born, it brought great joy to those that were around him. It brought joy to the shepherds. It brought joy to the wise men. It brought joy to those that were searching and looking, longing after a Messiah. It brought joy to the disciples as he grew and matured and he became the teacher of Galilee that brought joy to them. And so when he was born, the plan was that Jesus was to give that great joy. Then his life brought joy. Everywhere Jesus went, he went doing good. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38, the scripture says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now you find everywhere Jesus went, when those folks were oppressed, Jesus took care of it. When those folks were blind, Jesus took care of it. When those folks were hurting, Jesus took care of that. And that brought joy to those that were around him and brought that great joy. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. We're to have that same aspect in our life working in us, that we're to give joy to those that are around us. And so we find that his birth brought joy, his life brought joy, and his death brought joy. So how in the world could the death of the Son of God bring joy? Well, it brought joy to the critics. They were glad he was out of the way. They said, we're done with him, and he's gone now. He'll not bother us anymore. We got what we wanted. He's dead, and we'll not be bothered anymore with that man called Jesus. How little they knew. They were critics and criticized him, but they didn't know who he was, and they thought that was all over. And when Jesus died and when he dismissed his spirit, they said, we've completed the task. He's out of our way now. They didn't understand. They didn't realize that he was going to come back and he was going to be there living among them once again. But it brought joy. It brings joy now to Christians. I'm glad Jesus died, aren't you? I thank God he died on Calvary. I mean, it's not a joy that's fun and games, but it's a joy to our soul to know that he died that we might live. It brings joy to those. It brought joy to those disciples when they understood that here I stood before them the resurrected Messiah. Before the resurrection, that group of disciples were fearful and fleeing, and they were worried, and they were always afraid of everything. But after the resurrection, you'll find them standing boldly preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll find that they had great joy in their soul and compassion toward those that were around them. And today, we don't have to worry about any more sacrifices. Aren't you glad you don't have to put a lamb up? Aren't you glad you don't have to take those little turtle doves and sacrifice them and don't have to go through all the ritual things that the Jewish people did? Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus is our complete total sacrifice, and in him we have life, and in him we have that total joy that comes only from knowing the Lord Jesus? So his birth brought joy. His life brought joy. His death brought joy. His resurrection brought joy. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 14, verse number 19, Jesus is speaking to them. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Tonight we have joy, we have hope in our souls and our lives, that because he lives, we live. Because he came from the dead, we will one day be raised in likeness unto his resurrection. The Bible says the world, Jesus said, they're not going to see me just a little while. But the scripture says here that Jesus said, but ye shall live. And he says, you live because I live. And that brings joy tonight because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad he rose from the dead. I'm glad he's not just some dead mummy over there and something you go to and look in a tomb and find the image of something that was left there. Jesus is not there. He arose from the dead. And that brings joy to our life. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And the only way you're going to have joy is to understand and to experience that resurrected Christ coming in and making you a new creature in Him. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 11, those great verses there, John was talking concerning Lazarus. We find that Jesus talking to Lazarus there in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, thank God, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that next verse says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're not going to die. We may leave this world and our bodies may deteriorate and decay and run down and finally die. But thank God we live somewhere forever and forever. And one day we'll have a new body fashioned just like His resurrected, glorified body. And that brings joy to our soul and to our life because we have Jesus in our life. Amen. The joy of the Son of God and the joy of Jesus Christ in His resurrection. One of the great pillars of our foundation truth. Foundational truth as a Christian is the resurrection of Jesus. You have His virgin birth. You have His sinless life. You have His vicarious death. And you have His resurrection. Those are foundational stones that we build upon. And that brings joy. And as a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Is have that joy flowing in our soul, knowing that Christ died for us, knowing that He arose again for us, knowing that also He's coming one day. You see, not only does His resurrection and His ascension bring joy, but His coming again brings joy. He's coming tonight, and He's coming one day soon. It may be tonight, and that brings joy to our soul and to our life. And we find that the plan of God was that the children of God have joy. God didn't leave us in this world to be just wandering around to and fro, not knowing where we're going, not knowing what we're doing. God didn't leave us that way. God left us with joy. God left us with this thing, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. God left us with that, our fruit of the Spirit is love, that we have compassion and love because He loved us, and it works out of our heart and works through us and to others. And because of that, we have joy in our soul knowing that Jesus cares. When all the world doesn't care, I'm glad Jesus cares. When you feel like nobody else has any compassion whatsoever, I'm glad Jesus does. When you feel like the whole world's turned against you, I'm glad God hadn't. When you feel like the whole world is going the wrong direction, I'm glad God keeps us on the right direction and keeps our feet planted upon a solid rock and that foundational pivot that we can lean upon and know Him and have that joy of Jesus Christ. No wonder the world doesn't know what joy is all about because they don't know Christ. Just like the world doesn't know what love is about because they don't know the giver of love. They don't know what living is about because they don't know the giver of life. Jesus' foundation, He is that central theme throughout the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Tonight, too many Christians don't have joy. Tonight, too many children of God are just wandering around, wondering what they're going to do and wondering why they're here. Well, God's left us here for a purpose, and that is to express His joy and His love through our lives to others that they might come to know Jesus Christ. That's why we're trying to win people. That's why we visit people. I read Brother Mike's letter. I didn't read all of it tonight. Brother Mike Patterson, he tells in one part of the letter, if I can find it, I've got the wrong letter. Brother Mike, he says, I suspect you've been praying in recent days. Recent days have brought a spirit of revival into the Cuernavaca Mother Church. Large groups of our people are out on soul winning every week. 60 to 80 people going and telling the old story of Jesus Christ. Thank God you can have joy in your soul and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we knock doors. That's why we talk to people. That's why we visit people. Because we got that joy that floods in our soul and our lives that we can serve Him and live for Him. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It comes only through Jesus Christ. It only came because He was born. It came because He lived a perfect life. He was born a perfect birth. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death for you and I. And He's coming again just right, just on time. So we find that's the plan of joy. Now let's notice secondly, the power of this joy. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 24, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be what? Full. That your joy may be full. John 16, 24, ask and ye shall receive. Now that's simple, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. Why does God give us? Why does God permit us to ask Him things? Why does God then in turn give us many of those things that we ask for? that our joy may be full, that our joy may be complete, that our joy may be whole in Him. There's joy tonight. And a lot of folks say, well, you only have joy when things are going well. You can have joy in every aspect of life. Now, circumstances do change some things in our life. Circumstances may change some of the ways we feel and some of the activities we do. But as a child of God, as a Christian, it ought not to change our joy. Joy is that which has been planted within us. The fruit of the Spirit, the part of the work of the Spirit of God in our life. When Jesus saved us, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. He took control. He took possession, I'd rather say. He doesn't have control of us like he wants to, but He has possession of us. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. And He lives on the inside of us. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So we find tonight that the power of this joy is that it would be a full joy. It would be a rich joy. Doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we can have joy. Many times we find ourselves in sadness and sorrow, but there can be joy even in sorrow. The world doesn't understand when everything has gone wrong and you can still rejoice in the Lord. The world, your neighbors, your friends, your family, they don't understand when everything seemingly is turned upside down in your world and in your life, and yet you can rejoice in the Lord because you know Him. I think one of the best examples anywhere in the Word of God is a man by the name of Job that lost it all, but yet he still had his joy. He didn't let those things deter him. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job says, "Naked came I of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job was a man, as far as his day in which he lived, Job was a very wealthy, very rich man. He had everything that a person would want. He had everything that a person could obtain. You can go on and you can read these things. He had his cattle, he had his lands, he had his houses. He had all those things. And the devil come along and accused God and said, "God, you've just built a hedge about him. That's why he serves you. You've just put him in a glass house. That's why he serves you." Well, the Lord let the devil loose on Job, and Job lost everything he had. He come down to the end of all these bad reports that had come. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away." While he was yet speaking, while that messenger was speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants, consumed them. Now only I am escaped to tell thee." And while he was speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans came out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, slain the servants, and only I am escaped to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their elder brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee." In verse 20, Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down to the ground. And he felt sorry for himself. Is that what it says? No, it says, and he worshipped. He understood where his joy was. I don't think I could do that. We don't know what we would do till we get in a position. I doubt very seriously that I would fall to the ground and worship. You say, well, you ought to. I know I ought to, but I doubt very seriously that any of us would. But he fell to the ground, he worshipped. And as he was worshiping, he came to the realization that when he came into this world, he didn't have anything. And he said, I can leave the same way. But there's one thing he had that the winds and the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, one thing he had that they couldn't take away. They could take away his goods. They could take away his cattle. They could take away his servants. They could take away even his children. But he couldn't take away his peace with God. And his joy that he had. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I've wondered many times what that means, nor charged God foolishly. I think it probably means Job just gets out beside himself and gets all disturbed and says, God, why have you done this to me? Job didn't do that. He did not charge God foolishly. Job had his sorrow, his suffering. He didn't lose his faith. And you read on over, he knew God was alive. over in Job chapter 19. One of the great statements anywhere in the Word of God about the God being alive and Job knowing that. And Job 19:25 says, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." He knew more than some people know today. Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job knew of the resurrection. Job knew of a new body. Job knew more than we give credit. And as we have mentioned so many times, Job probably is the oldest book written in the Word of God. And yet Job knew about the resurrection of his life and the resurrection of his body. He said, "This whole body may decay, but," he said, "I'm going to see God in a new body. I'm going to see God." You know why he could say that? Because he had joy in his life. He knew, had a personal relationship with the Son of God. The Bible says all over in the Scriptures, chapter number 23, verse 8, Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there." Job said, "I go, I can't find God. I'm backward, but I cannot perceive him. On my left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." Job said, "God has literally hid himself from me." Verse number 10, Job says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." I may not know where God is. I may not can reach God. I may not be able to get a hold of the horns of the altar. I may not be able to get a hold of God. But God knows where I am. God knows where you are. But he knoweth the way that I take. Then he says here, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Thank God tonight Job had something to build a life upon. He had something to build an eternity upon. He said, "I know him." He told his so-called friends in Job chapter 16 verse 19. He says, "Behold, my witness is in heaven and my record's on high." He said, "I stand before you just as it is." Job knew what it was to trust God. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I believe Job had that joy. Amen. We can find joy even though the Lord has permitted suffering to come upon us. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 30 verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Joy cometh in the morning. I believe we ought to be looking for that morning. I believe I'll be looking for that time that joy comes. Not a whole lot of joy in this old wicked world we're living in, but joy comes in the morning. The Scripture says there that the anger of God just is here for a moment. Just a little while. In his favor is life. Thank God, in his favor. I'm glad tonight through the grace of the Son of God we can be found in his favor. And then it says, "Weeping may endure for a night." There may be a long night of weeping, but there's a joyous day coming in the morning. When Jesus comes again, when we go to be with the Lord, whichever it is, if we go by death or if we go by rapture, joy comes in the morning. If we leave this world knowing Christ as our Savior and the joy of God in our heart, oh, thank the Lord, joy comes in the morning. And we'll stand before him. You can have joy. That's the power of joy. That all things may go wrong, but you can still say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. Your family may turn against you, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Sickness may come, but yet there can still be joy. Sorrows and sickness, sufferings may come. Physical sufferings, spiritual sufferings, emotional sufferings. All those sufferings may come to us, but thank God there still can be joy. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. Chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, the young preacher. He says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres," that's two that withstood Moses, "so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther. For their folly shall be manifest in all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, yeah, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some turmoil. There's going to be some difficult days. But he says, those things are okay because you know who you believe in. You know who you trust. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank God we can know the things of our life and the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. So we've noticed tonight, we look at the plan of joy that came as the birth and the life and the resurrection and the coming again of Jesus brings a joy to our heart and our life. We notice the power of joy, that's a full joy that comes even amid difficult days. But there is a peril to this joy. There is a possibility. The Bible says David one day wrote, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of the Lord can be lost, as David testified. Anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger can make us lose our joy. We can be so mad at the whole world that we just don't have any joy at all in our life. We let the world dictate how we feel. We let the world tell us how that we're to smile and how we're to act. And I ought not to do that because our joy is from the inside, not on the outside. Another thing that will destroy our joy and will disrupt it is criticism. That critical spirit, critical attitude. Don't find anything right with anybody. Well, we can all find ourselves there, can't we? I have a problem with that. I have difficulties with it. I mean, you can always find the weak points. And I believe we ought to work on looking for the strong points. And then when we find weak points in our life and others' lives, then pray about those and try to get those taken care of. Criticism, being critical towards others, will rob your joy. If you don't believe that, you get critical sometimes. Find out how sad you are. Just everything you see, something wrong with it. Everything somebody does, something's wrong with it. Doesn't suit me. That's not the way it ought to be done. That's not the way it should be. Just critical of everything. You'll lose your joy out of that. Sin always separates men and women from God and the joy that God has for us. Pride will destroy our joy. I almost got sidetracked this afternoon studying this thing of pride. I just looked in one book of the Bible about this thing of pride. Boy, God has a lot to say about it. God hates pride. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and evil way of a froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 13 says, only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low. God says in Proverbs 6:16-17, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the very first thing that he lists there is a proud look. God says, I hate that. Pride will rob you joy. That spiritual pride, thinking you're something better than everybody else. Proverbs 15:25 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:19. Notice this one. It says, better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. It's better just to have a lowly, humble spirit. Boy, God help us to have that. It's better to have an humble spirit and to be with the lowly than it is to be divided with the proud. He says here in verse number 4 of Proverbs 21, an high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 21:24 says, proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And I'm glad it's got the other side. He that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Put your trust in the Lord. Most of those verses in Proverbs, I didn't read all of them. Most of them have another side to it. If he talks about pride on one side, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But then it says, the lowly is wisdom. God always compares the pride and the high and lifted up with the lowly. And you'll find that those that are meek and those that are lowly, those that are humble, they may not get much attention in this world. But God gives them a lot of attention. If we have the right kind of spirit and the right kind of attitude about us, the world may seem like they just walk over us, and sometimes we may get tired of that. But God says one day you'll be lifted up. If you're going to go up with God, you've got to go down first. If you're going to serve God, you're just going to have to be humble, have the right spirit. These things are the perils of our joy. They'll rob us. They'll destroy us. I've seen folks had everything in the world going for them, had that pride enter into their life. I've seen people get out of church for no reason. I mean, they got their feelings hurt or something. They got all bent out of shape. And many, many of them will never enter into the house of God again because of their pride. Well, I'll not admit I'm wrong. I'll not admit that I shouldn't have done that. I'll not admit that. I've seen people many, many times that pride enter into the picture, and then they're destroyed. We'll have a hard time with that pride. Because right in the middle of pride is that little word, little letter I. P-R-I-D-E. I don't want to do that. I don't want to accept that. I'm not going to do that. I don't think that's right. God help us, because that attitude will rob us of our joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. May God help us to have that working in our life, that others would see Christ. They're not going to see the Lord unless they see the love of God. They're not going to want the Lord unless they see our joy and our peace and our happiness. May God help us to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our life. Let's stand together tonight. As we prepare for a song, pray that the Lord would help us to have real joy. I'm not talking about the fun, the frolic of the world. I'm talking about that real satisfying joy that comes from Jesus Christ. My Father, tonight, thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, that you can speak to our hearts through the word of God. Lord, may we not let the circumstances rob us of our joy. Lord, the trials and the testings may come, and difficult days may be upon us. I'm glad we're saved, born again by the Spirit of the Lord. The problems and the hard times only last for a little while, but joy comes in the morning. Our Father, we're looking forward to that in the morning. We're looking forward to that day that we shall be with you forever and forever. Bless us now as we've studied the Word of God. May we have these things active in our lives as we go out from this building tonight. May we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?
In the red hymnal, number 357.
357 tonight. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Let's sing that together.
Oh.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
breaks the power. Aren't you glad tonight he breaks the power of sin? That sin that holds you down, binds you down, that one day he broke the power of sin in your life, made you a new creature, give you the fruit of the Spirit. Now we need him active in our life. It goes on to say there, his blood can make the foulest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing that last stanza together tonight before we go home.
He breaks the power of cancel sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the vilest clean. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Sing out now on the chorus.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord.
Well, amen tonight. I believe we'll be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord.